on, shout a little bit louder. Yeah. Put your hand on your heart and prepare the ground of your heart, because the word comes out like a seed, it says. And it would be easy if you just let it just settle right up on the top for like a bird to come and just snatch it away. Or a big rain thunderstorm to come later on this afternoon and just wash it away. How many of you ever had that happen? Like you walk out of church and then chaos breaks out and the seed just went where? You got to actually like open the heart, and you have to say, I'm putting this deep inside because I want a fruitful season. Don't you want a fruitful season? So God, we thank you for your word being a rich, powerful, unlimited seed going forth. And we take a hold of it by faith. We speak to our faith and say, wake up and activate yourself. I need faith to put this in my heart. I thank you, God, for putting it and tending to us, being the Lord of the harvest. God, we just thank you for your word that it's just so good. And we come with great expectation this morning that you'll speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. So this morning, the message is not your typical Palm Sunday message. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
But I do remind you that Palm Sunday was a day to remember Jesus coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey colt. It was a day of great celebration. Like amazing things happened. And I want you to just listen to the story because you need to be reminded what happened on Palm Sunday. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 21, and I'm reading in the New King James Version. And it says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples. And he said to them, go into the village opposite you. And immediately you will find a donkey colt tied, loose her and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt and the foal of a donkey. And so the disciples went, and they did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothing on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and they spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried after him, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. So if you'd have been there that morning, it would have been the most incredible occasion to experience. The crowds were, can you see them pushing one another? And the atmosphere is just brimming with excitement, and people are throwing garments on the road before Jesus comes riding by. And branches are being cut down and they're waving them like we waved them today. And praises were being shouted back and forth inside the crowds, one to another and back again. And I wonder if anyone remembered that 500 years ago, the prophet Zechariah had actually announced that this was going to happen, and here it was before them. He had told of this joyous event. So my question to you this morning is the title of the message. And it's this. What did they believe? Or what do you believe? So I ask you, that morning that procession happened and they're all shouting and they're all celebrating, what did they believe? Was it adoration of Jesus or just the excitement of the moment that stirred up the crowds? The reason I bring this up is because in just a few days, this same crowd, they're going to shout, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. How is that possible? It's possible because they didn't really believe what they were saying. They didn't understand the truth of who he was, that he was their king that had come. And did you know that we do the same thing many times? See if you found yourself in this position. You sing songs about the majesty, how great and mighty God is. And you declare into the atmosphere, you say, he's the Lord. He's the Lord. And you say, our God can do impossible things. And we say those things in one moment of time, don't we? We say them. And then in the next, we let fear drive us at the very encounter with a problem. And our emotions and our circumstances, they toss us to and fro. It's interesting that Jesus addressed this. He said in Matthew 15:8, he said, these people, they draw me near me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so I asked you this morning, seriously, what do you believe? And God is challenging you to consider your beliefs this morning. He wants to know what is planted in your heart. You see, I don't know if you understand this, but it is absolutely impossible to stand on someone else's beliefs. You can't stand on your husband's beliefs. You can't stand on your parents' beliefs. You can't even stand on your friends' beliefs. When you lean on what is someone else's, what happens when circumstances go the wrong way? You crumble. You crumble. Your beliefs are established by what you allow to be planted in your heart from the Word of God. I love this in Matthew, and Jesus is the one that said this. He said, a good man, that's you, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart, he brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. My dad used to say this to me. He used to say, if you believe it, you will do it. I did not like when he said that to me. I didn't like it because I needed to justify my places of unbelief. You know, those places where I said I believed, but my actions didn't actually reflect it. So I never cared for that. I read a quote in preparing for this message, and it's by a man named Stephen Pavlina. And he said something fascinating. He said, if you believe something, you will act in accordance with that belief. Always. If you claim to hold a belief but act contrary to that belief, then you didn't actually believe it. You're only kidding yourself. Casual faith isn't. You see, the Bible, it talks a lot about your heart. All kinds of places. From in Genesis and on, it talks about our heart. But one thing is certain. If you want to know what's in your heart, if you seriously want to know what's planted in your heart, do you want to know what's in your heart? Listen to your mouth. Listen to your mouth, and you'll know what's planted in your speaks. So what do you plant in your heart? See, when God reveals his character and his truth to us, it gets cemented in and planted into our hearts. And it causes us to be able to stand in areas without doubt, without fear, with absolute knowing of who he is and what he will do and how he will keep his promises. And sometimes that planting happens through experiences, and sometimes that planting comes through revelation from him. I want to give you an example of that because pictures always help us. And so I want you to think about the Israelites long ago. And these million plus Israelites were standing before the Red Sea. Can you picture the crowds of people before the sea? And an enemy army is following hard after them. They're behind them. And you're facing the sea. You know, God had told them over and over again, I'm going to deliver you. I'm your deliverer. I'm going to save you. I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. I'm going to deliver you. And he had proved that he would do what he said he would do many ways. And the people had experienced signs and wonders and crazy events. They saw things we've never seen. And there was one right after another, each revealing the power and wonder of their God who loved them. So they've experienced this. And this isn't just like today, tomorrow, and the next day. This is over a period of time. God begins to prove who he is to them. Unfortunately, all those wonders didn't seem to affect their belief in God much. For instance, the whole nation of Egypt had darkness so thick that the scripture says you could feel it. Have you ever been in darkness so thick you can feel it? I have once in a cave. Hated it. And the Egyptians couldn't even move because of the darkness. I can't even fathom a darkness so dark that you couldn't move. But in the middle of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, in Egypt, the Israelites had light. And they saw all that, and they knew all that. And we all think if we could just see God do this, then we would trust him and believe him. But they saw all that, and they didn't trust him, and they didn't believe him. They had so much proof of what God would do. And they had not allowed God, what God had showed them, to go deep into their hearts, planting seeds of belief. So here they are at their Red Sea moment. Picture them. The actual moment of deliverance was right in front of them, right there. And all they could see was the circumstances. There's a whole big body of water, and there's a whole big army behind me, and we are in so much trouble. I want you to listen to what they said. This is what came out of their hearts. Exodus 14, 11. Then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptian than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall not see again, no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And if you read a little bit further in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, it gives us another picture of this. In Psalms 106, listen to this. It says, he saved them from the hand of him who hated them. He saved them. He delivered them. He redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered over their enemies, and there was not one of them left. And then, verse 12, then they believed his words, and they sang his praise. You see, it's really easy in the moment to believe. It's really easy. It's also easy to believe for someone else. Lay hands on you and I can stand on behalf for you and I can believe. But what about when it's you? And you're the one facing it. And you're the one dealing with it. And you're the one with the circumstances and disasters. You don't understand what in the world is God doing in your life. Then what do you believe? What comes out of your mouth? That can be a really shocking discovery. So one of Jesus' disciple's name was John, and he was called the beloved disciple. And listen to what he writes. He said in John 20, "And truly Jesus did many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these, all the things in the Bible, those things you shouted out in worship this morning, all of these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing you may have life in his name." You say, you believe the Bible. You say, it is true. You actually say, the Word of God is alive and active and powerful. That actually was quoted this morning. But you're not in it much. That's a picture of head knowledge, of knowing these things about him, but it's not actually planted into your heart so that it's a part of how you think and feel and live, that it actually comes out of you in the midst of darkness and despair. What system of belief are you planting in your heart? And what do you believe? See, the Bible holds hundreds of promises, truths. It actually speaks a lot about the very character and nature of who God is. Sometimes you believe things that are contrary to who he is. He can't even act like that because that's not a part of his nature or character. And he never changes. And those promises, those things full in the Word of God are meant to be deep roots in your heart that sustain you and cover you when you go through adversities. They're supposed to come out of your mouth and speak to the situations you're dealing with. God is my hope. He's my refuge. He's my strong tower. He's going to keep me. He's going to deliver me. It doesn't have to matter what this looks like. I believe that he is who he says he is and that he actually will accomplish in my life what he says he will do. But you actually, one must actually take hold of them and apply them to your circumstance. You can't go, "Oh me, oh my, what are we going to do?" You have to say, "Oh, I know the Word of God says this. And so this is what I'm going to declare over my circumstances and the situations I'm facing because he is honest and true and he will not fail." And so you have to grab hold of those. But if they're not planted in your heart, how do they come out? Instead of fear and unbelief comes out. And with great sadness, I tell you this. Every place that I have encountered great difficulty, really tough places in my life personally, you know, shakings of sort, the Lord has given me words that I've cemented down into my heart that you could not move me off of them. But why did I have to wait until I'm in difficulties for God to plant his word deep in my heart that they would be there when I face those things? Those circumstances that were meant to destroy me, they actually planted truths in my heart. And you know what that happened then? When they became planted, they became like these rocks, these stones of foundation deep inside of me. And then I'm not moved. I'm not moved in what I face and see because of those stones within that were planted, those stones of truth. Those are the things that I find myself leaning into. Once they are set into our heart, fear and anxiety, they're held at bay because you know who God is. So you're like, he's not surprised by this, so I shouldn't be surprised by this. Yeah. Those truths, they give you a full assurance that God's got this and I'm safe. And you must understand the importance of planting his character and promises in your heart against every attack of the enemy. Because he uses all kinds of devious ways to get at us and to try to take us out. And the wonder of it all is that those truths, those things that become foundational stones within us, those things that God has spoken in his words, there's actually hundreds upon hundreds of promises, those truths are meant to hold you tight And they're available all the time. And why does it take difficulties for us to find them? So I'm going to get real personal here with my life. And I want to share a couple things so that I can show you what I'm talking about. For instance, there's the truth. It's in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We, pretty much all of us, can quote that. We know the scripture that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We know those things. Well, in a real place of distress in my life, where things looked pretty shaky, I found out what was really in my heart, what was coming out of my mouth. And he has taught me that he is my source, that he will meet me every time, that he's all that I need. And it's become so central to my beliefs that I do not doubt that God will meet my needs no matter what happens. What the truth that really came out in all of this was after Mike had his stroke. Before that, see, he was my source. Because I leaned on him. He was such a hard worker, and he was so talented, there was nothing he could not do. And I knew from now till the day I died that I didn't have to worry because he would always take care of me. But see, that's not where my hope and my trust need to lay. They need to be in the Father, in God the Almighty, the one who is my source. So Mike had that stroke, and in 1 second of time, everything shifted and changed in my world. And I begin to wonder, well, oh my word, how are we going to make it? What is going to happen? And it went from there. And anxiety and fear and all of those things. And I went before the Lord. And he began to assure me and show me and teach me that he was the one who was my source. That he would meet my needs. And he opened the fullness of that truth to me. And it got planted deep into my heart. And I can tell you that without a doubt, I know that God is my source. That to the day I die, he will meet my needs. That he will take care of me. I don't have to count on Social Security. I don't have to count on a job. I count on him who is and was and ever will be, because that's who he is. It's his nature and his character to take care of his children. And we so often do not lean into that. In fact, I have some people that I know that I've been talking to, and I keep saying, you need to make God your source. You need to acknowledge that he's the one that meets your needs. You need to go after this. And instead, they work another job and another job and another job, and they're in this cycle of trying to meet all the ends, trying to be a good provider, when God never called our men to be the provider. Yes, they need to work. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that our true source is him. And as a couple, we need to stand before God and say, you are our source. You're the one that's meeting our needs. You're the ones that's going to take care of us. Yeah. I want to give you one other example. So Pastor Mike and I pastored a church when we were pretty young. It was our first full-time position. And Mike worked really hard, and I poured, growing up as a pastor's daughter, I poured everything I knew about loving people and caring for people and taking care of people onto those people. And we did that year by year. And one day, Mike and I were accused of doing something that we never did by the people that we loved and the people that we trusted. And even some of them were really dear friends. And that was a really dark place in my life. And it hurt deeply. And I was hurt so deeply, and I was so shocked that how could you know us and believe that? It was just such a hard time. I was angry, and I was terribly wounded, and then I was angry all over again, and I did the thing I love to do. I wanted to run away. One friend, she kind of helped me a little bit. She came to my house carrying a helium balloon. And on that balloon, it said, "Don't let those turkeys get you down." And that balloon was before me a lot. And I turned to God and I cried out in that process. And in that journey, on that terrible time, that darkness that wanted to destroy me, that wanted to destroy Mike, wanted to destroy our credibility, wanted to destroy who we were. In that moment of time, God taught me two truths that became so foundational that I can hand them to you easily. I can teach them to you. One is that I walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness. I knew God said, forgive, and that was hard. That was really hard, and I chose it. God, I don't feel it, but I choose forgiveness. I choose forgiveness, and I walked that before me over and over. And the second thing that I learned is that Jesus, the Savior of the world, he heals the brokenhearted. That I don't have to stay hurting like I was. I didn't have to live that way. Because he's the one that comes and he planted the truth of who he was in my heart. Not only that that idea of that I choose forgiveness to no matter what someone does to me, but also that truth that he heals my brokenness. And so I chose to stand on God's word and believe. And so Psalms 147, if that's you and you have a broken heart, it says he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. He doesn't just touch your brokenness. He binds it up and makes it all better. And I know he will do it for you because he did it for me. And he's not partial to me. Well, he does love me a lot. Every promise in his book are meant to be foundational in our life. They really are. And they're meant to be rocks of your beliefs. They're meant to be planted into your heart. As a result, those truths anchor you to stand strong in the storms of life. And there are lots of storms in life right now. There are storms every day in every way on everyone that I know of. And God is saying, hey, I've got this. I am who you need moment by moment. And I love the verse in Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. You see, you can't believe with your own understanding, your own figuring it out. You can't make it be what you think it's all about. You can't think he's going to do it the way you think he's going to do it. You can't do that. You have to believe, you have to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, with all of it, and don't lean on your understanding. In trusting, it's actually, his work is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. He's shifting and changing how you process and how you see events flying at you. And you stand. You just stand as the storms of life begin to come your way. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he showed himself to a number of people. But it's an interesting, if you look at Mark 16:14, he comes to his 11 disciples, the ones that saw everything, that walked with him day in and day out. And look at what he says to them. It says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their heart, their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he was risen. In Hebrews 3:12, it says, beware, brethren. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So I ask you this morning, what circumstances are you facing? And what do you believe in the midst of those difficulties? And I'm telling you here this morning that the Word of God holds answers and hope for anything you're facing. Anything. Have you asked the good Father to show you His heart in the midst of your chaos? You see, He's wanting to set captives free. Not like prisoners of war and not like people in jail. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about prisoners of your circumstances. Do you know how many prisoners of circumstances there are? What's holding you captive today? Jesus came into the Nazareth, his hometown, where he began his ministry, and he opened the book of Isaiah, and he read this. Listen to his heart. And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. See, I believe God's offering you something this morning. It's called freedom. He's offering you freedom this morning from stress and worry and difficulties and storms and the unknown and the chaos. And he's here to set you free. He is truly the King of Kings that was proclaimed that morning of Palm Sunday as they came down the road. And it's just not a title, but it's actually a living reality. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And he is Lord over every trial and tribulation you're going through. And he is for you, and he wants you whole in your mind, in your body, and in your emotions. And he came to bring liberty to the captives. That's who he is. That's who he is. I thank you, Lord. Do you have that video available? So I want us to close the service. I'm going to have Mike close it. And then I want him to play that video. And I want that video to minister to you this morning in the midst of the difficulties you're facing, in the midst of the difficulties Heather and the boys are facing this morning, in the midst of the difficulties that Jamie and Javier are facing this morning. All of us. This is his truth for us. So, Michael. Thank you, Lord.
Sound. Let's stand. The name is Don't Stop Praying by Matthew West. But it's a really good video. You should watch it. Put your hand in your heart this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for this day. We can celebrate your coming as King. We bless and praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Oh, bless you, Lord. Allow your peace to flow over us, your joy to fill our hearts, the wonder of you to fill our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Go in his grace today.